this moment, I think I'm going to feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to go ahead and give the message that he took, give me to preach today. So if you want to, just kind of have a seat. Keep your mind focused. Are y'all okay with that? Don't go too far, Mike. Not going to be very long this morning, what the Lord asked me to share. I know offering and all that stuff, we're going to hold all that until the very end. I don't want to disrupt what the Lord is doing here. So we're just going to stay focused on this. Amen? If you would, open your Bibles up to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And y'all, if y'all can't feel the Holy Spirit here, you know, I always tell Misty, every time I get up here and preach, I feel like I'm doing Tybo. Sit up here and sweat down. But I praise God for the Holy Spirit, amen? If you would, stand it for the reading of his word, and then we're going to pray. This is Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, on the occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. This is Jesus. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. In a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray right now, Father God, that you would just kill my mind, Father God, kill my thoughts, Father God, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead me on what to say from here, Father. Father God, if you need me to say something outside of what you told me to do this morning, Father God, I pray right now that you lead and guide me. Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit have his perfect will and perfect way in the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Seems like the theme this morning, I'm not crying, it's my allergies. It seems like the theme this morning is you came in here one way, but you can leave out another way. And that strictly falls on what you choose this morning. Y'all going to have to bear with me. Sweating down up here. Have you ever noticed that the enemy doesn't stop his tactics just because you're trying to focus on the things of God? When you cross the threshold of your prayer closet, the enemy doesn't say, whoa, y'all, we can't go in there. He stays on us day in, day out, no matter where we're at. He's probably messing with your mind right now, some of you. The enemy's speaking to you, even though you're in the house of God. I'm here to tell you, you can get rid of all that. You can get rid of all those tactics. Do you know it takes time to purge our mindset or even remove some of the things from our heart in order for the Holy Spirit to begin his work? What we read right here in the book of Acts, this is Acts chapter 1. Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem. There was a lot of people there. I don't know the exact number. But I do know this, they were there for many days. I believe it was around 120 days, roughly. I may be off. You can shoot me later. But I do know that when they were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit fell, there was only 120 of them. Where did the rest of them go? So many people, so many trying to focus and awaiting this super empowerment that Jesus told them about. All of them had life. All of them had careers. And yet, here they are staying and waiting, day after day, night after night. Some left due to the weight was too much for them. Some left because of responsibilities elsewhere. And I want you to think about that. Where would you be if you were there waiting? Would you be able to wait 120 days while the life that you always had was on hold? Some possibly left a day before the Holy Spirit was poured out. Can you imagine waiting 119 days and leave on the 119th day? And Acts chapter 2 fell on the 120th day and you missed it. But they made a choice. Just like all of us here today. You came in one way, you can leave another way. You have a choice. This waiting is the most uncomfortable situation you could be in, and I'm talking about myself. Waiting is not fun. When we're in the service and the Holy Spirit is quiet and we're waiting for direction to move, what's next? It gets uncomfortable, doesn't it? Imagine 120 days waiting on direction, waiting on the promise, waiting on the fulfillment. God this morning is removing sin from your camp. He is showing you the ones you need to forgive. He is showing you the addiction that doesn't control you. You keep choosing that addiction. These things you hide from the outside world, He knows your true heart. He's asking you this morning, you can change. How many people in here have a phone? Pretty much everybody, right? When you push on the screen and all the apps start doing what? Shaking, right? Y'all can interact, yeah? All right, make sure you're awake. The apps start trembling. The apps start making excuses why they shouldn't be deleted. The apps start blaming others why they don't function when other apps are on their phone. Apps start pointing out others' flaws. So bear with me here for a moment. So whenever you push your phone, the app starts shaking, right? Let me get back on my phone. The app starts shaking, right? You're trembling. Email says, delete the weather app. It always lies. The weather app says, delete the stocks. It always gives you bad news. And then you hit it again and it all goes back calm. You have the choice today to allow God to purge your life right now. The things that hold you back, the things that are controlling you, let Him have them. Now I want you to think about your life, not your spouse's, not your friends, about your life. Because in the end, that's the one you're responsible for, is you. When God puts His fingers on your screen of your life, what starts trembling? What starts trembling in your life? What in your life is God trying to delete, but you'll not allow Him to? You may let Him remove certain things, the whatever that you have. You allow Him to put it in the trash. Only later, you go find it and put it back out. When life gets messy, you start getting overwhelmed, what is it that you turn to? Is it social media, alcohol, pornography, anger, fits of rage? What is it that you turn to when life gets hard? What is it that is your comfort? Am I being real with y'all this morning? Am I the only one? Life is hard, but God is good. God is here this morning to remove your whatever it is in your life, so you can receive His blessings, receive His power, and receive His Holy Spirit. In order to move from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 2, a purging has to go on. Things in your life must be dealt with and removed. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Him alone. The waiting is uncomfortable. In order for us as a body to be in unity, you can't bring your junk. Is that correct? When we're doing praise and worship, you can't be down here talking about what happened on a soap opera. That's not unity, correct? And I just used that one. We could go on with explanations. You can't have hidden things. All must be in one mind and one accord. And that is not a Honda Accord. We will not all fit in a Honda Accord. But I will tell you, whenever we was in Haiti, we did see five people, two children, and a goat on a moped. Don't say it's impossible. I'm here today to tell you that between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, there were some things that God had to deal with the people. He had to remove some things. He had to get their focus. And I'm telling you this morning, in order for us to move into that next chapter of our life, of our spiritual walk, as an individual and as a corporate church, some things have got to be dealt with. Some things have got to be removed from our life. Am I saying you're a sinner? You may not be a sinner. You may just be falling short with something. There's a comfort that you may be hanging on to that God says, that shouldn't be your comfort. I'm your comfort. You can't be looking back. You can't be worried about things that are hidden in your life. God is wanting to remove all that this morning. Who in here has a junk drawer at home? We have the junkiest drawer you ever met in your life. Thank goodness our builder, Mr. Burns, didn't build it no deeper and no wider. There is all kinds of junk in there. There is batteries in there that aren't no good. Don't know why we keep them. I even got a flip phone case, you know, in case I ever have to go back to a flip phone. You never know. I got a coin purse from a bank that don't even exist anymore. And I don't even have change to put in it, but yet we hang on to it. I got tools for kids' toys that we don't even have the toys anymore. But I got the tools to work on them if everybody ever needs them. I got charger for a Nextel phone. Why? I got pens that dried up years ago. No good. I got things from vacation, rocks, seashells, pieces of glass, things that are absolutely no good to life. Things that take up good space, no purpose. Think about our lives. I use the phone for an example because I have a bunch of apps on here that I don't even use. They take up good space and do absolutely nothing. Think about your life. What all in your life is taking up space and is good for nothing? You know, every time we open that junk drawer, I want you to say Sarah, but the other adult living in the house gets agitated. This thing's such a mess, it won't even close. It's like that in life. You start seeing the things that are in your life that don't even belong. You start getting frustrated. Because you're like, why is it taking up space in my life? Why do I even have this in my life? For those of you that don't have a junk drawer, you're really missing out. There's a lot of useless stuff you could be storing up for the end times. Little did we know we were preppers. So if there's ever a catastrophic event and you got a flip phone and you need a Nextel charger, I got a case for you and a charger. You know it's useless. It becomes a mess. And when you're digging through the drawer, you never even find what you're looking for. Right? Has anybody ever went to the junk drawer, pulled it out, and said, I knew it was right there. That's exactly what I needed. No. It's all useless junk. And you always tell your guests, don't open that drawer. Because you're embarrassed. Right? You don't want them to think you're a hoarder. You're ashamed. You're embarrassed of your junk drawer. So let me ask you this. What's in your junk drawer in your spiritual walk? What's in your junk drawer? What's in your heart? What's in your mind? Bunch of useless stuff? Or is it stuff that God can actually use? Because you see, God can't do the new with old. I can't charge my iPhone with my Nextel charger. This will not fit in a flip phone case. I could bend it and make it fit, but then this no longer fits. You can't use the new with the old. So God is asking you this morning, what is it in your life that you need removed? What in your life are you holding on to that is completely useless for the next chapter in your life? I think about those people in Acts chapter 1. They had to do a lot of soul searching. 120 days soul searching. God cleansing them. God showing them. People they need to forgive. Things they need to get right. It kills us to do 5 minutes. To allow the Holy Spirit to do a soul searching on us. What is God telling you to clean out and you try to hide it more? God is not okay with sin in your camp. Y'all, and I'm preaching to myself. God is not okay with sin in your camp. Do you think God is okay with whatever it is? It's the only bad thing I do? That is a lie from hell. God is holy. He is perfect. He can't be around anything of darkness. When God enters the situation, the darkness starts trembling. Just like the apps on your phone. They're sitting there shaking. Darkness does the same thing whenever you allow the Holy Spirit into your heart. Things that are not holy. If you can hang on to those things, you too may burn up in a lake of fire one day. It's not worth it. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what is it that God is trying to remove from you right now to move you from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 2 in your life? You may be a Christian, but you still got a next chapter in your life. And God is still moving you from glory to glory to glory. And every time He moves you from glory to glory, He is removing something out of your life that don't belong. He is straightening up an attitude. He's straightening up a heart condition. He is straightening up your focus. Y'all, sometimes we get refocused on things we shouldn't be focused on, right? I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes we lose our focus. It's life. Life gets busy. When you have kids, sometimes you lose your focus. That's what He does in those seasons from chapter to chapter in our life. We could be 1 minute away from receiving the blessing that He has. We could be one church service away from the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit He's ever had. What could He do with a church that is in unity spiritually? I'm not saying unity of singing a good song. I'm saying unity spiritually. And that's what He's asking this morning. Will you put down the things in your life that don't belong and accept what He's wanting to do? These people put away 120 days of their life to chase the greatest thing ever, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Did they understand it? No. This had never been done before, right? Never. This is the first time the Holy Spirit had come down and rested upon the people. So what is it that's holding you back? Do you want to go around the mountain of life again? Do you want to go around the same season of struggle again? Do we enjoy the struggles? Does anybody in here enjoy struggling? No? I only see two yeses. That's great. Do you enjoy always hiding your whatever it is? Y'all, I'm just going to be real honest with you. Holy Spirit's just kind of just leading me toward this. I used to have a pornography problem. My wife was aware of it. We prayed about it, moved on, but always held on to something in the background. Always held on to something in the background. And over time, that background eventually came to the forefront. I'm telling you, I've seen it with my own eyes and in my own life that if you don't deal with it in the proper way, it will come back and rule you. You try to manage it in the back, it'll eventually be in the front controlling you. I praise God that He helped me through that. I praise God that He gave me a wife that stuck by me through that. But y'all, I'm not the only one. There's people that dealt with alcohol, same thing. You try to hide it, it comes back around to control you. There's people with drug problem. They try to hide it. Certain people come around, they act straight-laced. They hide the stuff. Your fruit shines forth. You cannot hide it. You really can't hide it from Him. Amen? We had a good lesson this morning with the youth in Sunday school about hiding things from their parents. You know, my parents always knew anyway. In my mind, I just pretended like they didn't know, but they already knew. Same way with our Heavenly Father. He knows. But we choose to carry in that guilt and that burden until we confess it and get it right. That's what God is asking this morning. You want to move from this chapter to this chapter? Just ask for repentance and get on with it. Get it under the blood. It's not worth you carrying around the guilt, the shame, the condemnation. It's too much for us to carry every day. I don't care how strong you are. You can get mentally exhausted just carrying around guilt. You're always looking over your shoulder, or your Schroeder, depending on what kind of, how you're built. Has anybody here got some Schroeders? You're always looking over your shoulder, always stressed, always concerned. What if they find out? Sometimes the enemy will mess with my mind. People will be talking, and the enemy will be like, they're talking about you. They know. The whole time they're talking about Legos or something. But the enemy's messing with your mind. They know what you're doing. They know what you did. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. That's what brings you into the next chapter where God wants to bring us. Hey, Mike, could I get you to come up here, just you? And you play something spiritual on your acoustic? No pressure. Y'all, church is fun. Amen. There is no reason that you have to come to church and be sad, depressed, and thinking about all the things you're missing out on. You can come in here and have joy and peace and remember all the things that you did. Amen? There's a big difference. And I praise God that He was allowed me to do that too. So this morning, as I'm closing, and I'm not ordained, so I only get one closing. Our pastor has three, I get one. Misty has 1.5. She's advancing. So I'm asking you this morning, are you going to hang on to those whatever it is in your life? Or would you rather just lay it down at His feet and have peace, have joy? Would you rather be walking into the next chapter? You might be walking into the greatest experience you could ever have in your life. These people, whenever they got full of the Holy Spirit, can you imagine going from Old Testament to New Testament and the two merging and you were there to take present in it? Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4 says this, says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Y'all, I'm asking y'all this morning, do you want to be a part of that church? Or do you want to be part of the dead, dry religion church? Think about your life. Do you want to live a life full of joy, peace, happiness, moving into where the Holy Spirit's leading you? Or you just want to sit on the porch and sit in a rocking chair and rock back and forth and go nowhere? The rocking chair sounds fun, I know. But you achieve nothing with your life. And one day you're going to be held accountable. Just like Stephen Lilly last week. He was on Judgment Day last week in the sermon. There's times that we've got to step out and allow God to start moving with us. Amen? For those of you that wasn't here last Sunday, Stephen Lilly, I used him as a drama. I just used his name. I didn't make him come up here. But one day we're all going to stand in judgment. Amen? It's time for us to cross over from chapter 1 to chapter 2. It's time to let the things of this world go that is holding you back. It is time to do some cleaning in our own lives. As you stand this morning, I want you to think about that. What is it in your life that's holding you back from where God has called you to be? What is it that's holding you back from accomplishing what God has called you to do? We too often have the misconception we have to be like the pastor, or we have to be like so-and-so. We have to be like Christ. We don't get saved to be like the pastor. We get saved to become more like Christ. And then Christ starts working out the details in your life individually to make you become you. So my simple thing for you this morning is just be you, boo. He died for you. He saved you. Just be you. Who Christ called you to be is who you need to be. For the ones of you that's carrying around the guilt and the shame and heartache of the past, Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come to me who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That is the offer this morning, is He will give you rest in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul. In order to receive this rest, we have to quit trying to do things on our own. We got to receive His yoke, learn from Him. Then you will start to experience the fullness of life. Later on in chapter 2 in the book of Acts, Peter, who denied Christ, preaches and 3,000 come to the Lord. Who in here is the next Peter? You made mistakes, but you allow the Holy Spirit to change them and you become who Christ called you to be. Save 3,000 in the preaching. Peter failed. Peter denied the very Christ he walked with. But in between chapter 1 and chapter 2, Peter allowed failures and insecurities disappear. Allowing the Holy Spirit to have control and remove the junk from his life. And that's my call to you this morning is, will you allow the Holy Spirit to remove the junk out of us, individually and corporately? Because in order for us to reach the community, we all got to be in unity in here, right? Who in here likes red carpet? Nobody. But yet we have red carpet. See, the carpet doesn't matter, the spiritual walk. What matters is our hearts. So I'm here this morning to offer you that. Allow the Holy Spirit to remove the junk out of your life and to make us become who He has called us to be. Amen? Amen.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me.
Could I get a couple prayer warriors just to come back and just stand behind them? Don't touch them. Don't lay their hands on them. But I feel like the Lord is doing a work this morning.
And we're doing a lot of soul searching this morning, the ones that are down here. And I want you to keep focused and keep searching and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. But if you're serious about getting the junk out of your life, you've got to make that commitment this morning. When you leave here, you can't go back out there and pick it up. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to take it and delete it out of your life. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Sing that again, amen. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing. Stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Sing that again, again. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, till every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Break every strong through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
told you that you would see when its time is coming close. Look around. The season is here. The time is close. Set your hearts on fire for me. Set your hearts on fire for me. For you don't have very long before the end of this whole thing. I'm a soon coming king. My horse has been ready for a while. The banqueting table, I've told you, is set. The only thing that's left is for you to come. And that time is coming up upon us. That time when I'll get off my throne and mount my horse to come and get my bride. I'm waiting for the Father to look and say, go. I'm looking for his lips to move. And I know that that time is not very far off. You have to be ready. You have to burn out the dross. You have to allow me to change you from the inside out and not worry about what other people think. Stand on your own two feet. Stand with me in your heart. Stand with me against the enemy of your soul, the enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you, your family, and everyone around. But that power that he thinks he's had has been given to me. He has no power. The only power that he has is if you let him have power. So stand up, and I'll raise a standard against him that he can't break through, that he can't get to you when you stand up in me, when you put your shield of faith in front and walk forward. Time is short. Tell everybody that you know. Be about my plan. Be about my things. Be about what I have for other people. Guard your hearts. Guard your minds. Grab hold of my word and plant it in your heart. Make sure you understand what I'm doing. And when you don't, ask the Holy Spirit. And he will give you guidance on what to do. Hold fast, my children. Hold fast, for time is about to end.
just want to say that the ones that come down this morning, expect a change from here on out. I know the service is quiet. Some it's uncomfortable, but some it's just what you need. He is still a good God. Amen. Just praying for direction here. Hang on a second. It's okay with y'all. I'm going to ask Mike to sing one more song. Because I would hate for that individual to walk out of here and I never give the opportunity. So as Mike plays that one more song, if that's for you this morning, come down and let us pray for you. Come down and let us gather around you, brothers and sisters of light, precious faith and unity, and join with you. Amen.
He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name. Thank you. pour out my heart to you. Here in your presence, stop me, 'cause you hold my hand, and I'm walking in your victory. Your power is within me. No giant can defeat me, 'cause you hold my hand. No fire can burn me. No battle can turn me. No mountain can stop me, 'cause you hold my hand, and I'm walking in your victory. Your power is within me. No giant can defeat me, 'cause you hold my hand. Sing it again. No fire, amen, can burn me. No battle can turn me. No mountain can stop me, 'cause you hold my hand, and I'm walking in your victory. Your power is within me. No giant can defeat me, 'cause you hold my hand. 'Cause you know my name.
Thank you, Father God.
Yeah.
Sing it.
Yes, Father God. We praise you and thank you this morning, Father God, for the help that you do give us, Father God, each and every day. And I praise you that you do know each and every one of our names, Father God. You knew our names upon the cross. You knew our names upon the cross. And Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that you gave so we can walk in freedom this morning, Father. Trying to land this service, but the Holy Spirit just won't let me. The Holy Spirit's still doing some work in somebody. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
you. You heard my words today. You heard my words. You heard my call. You heard my plea on your part. I will not force you to come to me, but I am extending my hand out to you today, and I'm offering you hope. I'm offering you salvation.
Praise you. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I praise you. Thank you, Father God. Father God, we thank you and praise you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. I'm waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. And I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise. praise again. And Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Never failed me yet. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again.
Come on, amen. Hallelujah.
And I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe, yes, I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. 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 Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. You're still getting out early. I know it seems like it's been a long morning, but you're still getting out early. Amen. God is good. Amen. I'm glad y'all was all able to come out this morning. Pastor's supposed to be back this evening, so all the normally scheduled stuff will be back in order. But if not, God is still here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is still good. Thank y'all so much for allowing the Holy Spirit to move. And remaining and working and allowing the Holy Spirit to do His thing. Amen. That's my biggest fear behind this pulpit, is moving too fast and missing what the Holy Spirit is doing. I know we all have food at home, but I'd rather see a soul make heaven than feed my belly. But now that the Holy Spirit has released me to end the service, now I can feed my belly. Amen. So I'm going to pray real quick. Father God, we thank you and praise you, Father God, for the things you're doing this morning, Father God, the things that we can see and the things that we cannot see, Father God. You are moving, Father God, in the supernatural and the spiritual this morning, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you're taking us to the next chapter of our walk with you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you're taking away the old things, Father God, and giving us new things, Father. Father, we love you. We praise you, Father God. Give us rest today. Let us come back at the appointed hour this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I do know I didn't take up an offering. If you would, you can put it up here in the plates, and we will get it to the right spot. That's when you know you had a good service, when you didn't take up an offering. Amen. Love y'all.